Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Strauss Group second quarter 2014 results conference call. All participants are at present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Wednesday, August 20th, 2014. I would like to remind everyone that the conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions and may change as time passes. Strauss does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing industry and market trends, reduced demand for our products, the timely development of our new products and their adoption by the market, increased competition in the industry, and price reductions, as well as due to risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the ISA. With us on the line today are Mr. Gadi Lessen, President and CEO of Strauss Group, and Mr. Shachar Florence, CFO. Mr. Lessen, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon and good morning to everyone, and thank you for joining us for this 2014 second quarter call for Strauss Group's results. With me today are Shachar Florence, our CFO, and Meir Menachem, our VP Finance. Moving to slide number five. This was a strong Q2 and H1 for Strauss Group. However, the FX rate reduced nominal sales and profits. Strauss Group posted a top-line organic growth excluding FX of 1.7% in Q2, driven by double-digit growth in local currency for Strauss Water and Sabra, as well as relatively robust top-line growth for Três Corações in Brazil. Strauss Group's overall gross margins are up 220 basis points, mainly thanks to gross margin expansion at Strauss Coffee. Strauss Israel's positive mix products improved its gross margin, offset by a decreased number of distribution days, that because shifting with Q1 timing of the Passover, and maintained a similar profit. Strauss Water posted 18.7% top-line growth both in Israel and its international markets. Três Corações in Brazil is showing improvement in its Q2 gross profit, 13.9% increase versus last year in local currencies, but a decline in operating profit, mainly due to higher marketing and sales expenses related to the launch of the Três, our single-portion multi-beverage system. Sabra posted top-line growth of 11.1% in U.S. dollars terms, with a 64.3% share of the hummus category in the U.S. market, driving 70% of the hummus category growth and EBIT margins of 14.3%. Finally, regarding TPG's exit from Strauss Coffee, as of the date of this report, a non-binding document for the regulation of certain issues in the process has been signed. Moving to slide number six, we have faced a few challenges during this quarter. First, the new Israeli shekel appreciation versus most of our other currencies continued to cause negative translation differences. As a result, we had negative translation differences of 95 million shekels in Q2 2014, of which 55 million were due to the Brazilian real. These translation differences resulted in negative top-line growth of 3.3% in the group's consolidated sales. As I mentioned previously, organic growth excluding FX totaled 1.7%. Our coffee business was negatively impacted by soft performance in Russia, the Ukraine, and Poland. The main reasons were intense competitive dynamics in CIS and Poland, and the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, which resulted in a devaluation of the Russian ruble and the Ukrainian hryvnia versus the U.S. dollar. we had some offsetting benefit in reduced financing expenses due to the income from FX derivatives, primarily on the ruble. Market prices of green coffee and most other commodities, such as cocoa and sesame, have been higher than in Q2 last year. While we are covered in the near term, we continue to watch this trend as it evolves. In our Israeli home base, there have been a few regulatory changes regarding food and beverage companies. The group is reviewing the new provisions, and we are preparing and implementing it over the course of 2014. Additionally, according to StoreNext, the food and beverage market in Israel posted negative value growth of 0.8% this first half of 2014. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Shachar Florence, our CFO, that, by the way, today has a birthday. So, Shachar, happy birthday. I wish you health and wellness, fun and indulgence. Please, Shachar.
Thank you very much, Gadi, and thank you all for joining us today to this call. As Gadi mentioned, this is the second-best quarter and half for Strauss Group, but I want to draw your attention and try to convince that this is despite all other difficulties that we had in certain area of the businesses, the best quarter and the first half. So I'll start with the first slides of the presentation to describe the performance of Strauss Group in a wider perspective than year-over-year. And as you can see, this is a slight decrease in the sales. But as Gadi said, and as published in the MD&A and in this presentation, later on, the translation effect on the second half was around 228 million shekel. That means that if we take the same sales in local currencies that we sold this quarter or this half and try to translate them in the 2013 exchange rate, we'll add here 220 million shekels. But despite the reduction in the sales, even in shekel, you can see in the next slide an improvement in the gross margin, and not less important, the profit itself, the gross profit. So you can see additional 2.7% in gross profit, and additional 200 basis points in the profitability. I'll talk about the first half rather than the first quarter because of the importance of the Israeli geography in our portfolio. Almost half of the sales and half of the profit, and the Passover impact over our performance in Israel, both in Strauss Israel, Strauss Coffee Israel, and Strauss Water Israel, is significant. But almost everything that I'll say here is true for the second quarter as well, maybe with a slight difference in health and wellness or sales, but the rest will be true. So when we see this improvement in the gross profit and the gross profitability, one can ask himself, "Okay, but you know, how come it wasn't translated into increase in the EBIT and the profit and the profitability?" And here I want to ask you to flip to, I think it's slide 28 in your presentation, the Três Corações snapshot, which presents the Brazilian operation performance in real. These are numbers of the 100% of the activity. You can see more than 7% growth in the quarter and 11% in the first half. Though, again, in Israeli shekel, you can see a reduction in sales, but this is not the main point. You can see a very good improvement in gross profit, almost 25% growth in profit. in the second quarter, second half, sorry, first half, and 14% in the second quarter. And let's take a look on the quarter. On the other hand, you can see a reduction in the EBIT, and the difference of more than 20 million riyal improvement in the gross profit and a reduction of 20 million riyal in the EBIT is related mainly to our investment in a new business that we opened in Brazil, which is the single-portion capsule machines that we launched towards the end of last year. So, you know, maybe not all the 20 million riyal in the gross profit would have been transformed into the EBIT, because there are some sales and logistic expenses embedded with it as well. So let's just assume that none of the gross profit increase went to the EBIT, then the 20 million riyal reduction in the EBIT, which will be attributed to the TRESS, this is the name of the business of the also the brand name to the consumer in Brazil of the single portion, which half of it is reported in our managerial or non-GAAP report, 10 million riyal, which in shekel, it's about 15 million shekel, is more than the whole reduction in the EBIT in the second quarter for the group. And the same, by the way, for the first half, almost 68 million riyal increase in the gross profit, about 4 in the EBIT, and the difference between that and, you know, taking only our part is more than the whole decline in the EBIT numbers for the group in the quarter, in the half. So actually, all the other businesses, other than the new investment in TRESS, which was made deliberately, and we still think it's the right thing to do for us. We have a great opportunity to be the leader of the single portion business in Brazil, both Nespresso and Douwe Egberg with their single portion coffee are still in very, very low numbers there, and with our ability and skills in Brazil, we think that we will be the number one in this segment. So of course, you can see that the rest of the business in Brazil is performing very, very well. The contribution of the new business into the sales and gross margin is almost zero. So all the improvement that you see in Brazil relates to the ongoing business. It took us a while to say that we think it's the sustainable. I think in the last two quarters, you heard me, after a year that we are in this situation, that gross margins and EBIT margins went up, EBIT margins in double digits on the ongoing business, more than 11% last quarter. And you can assume that if the growth continue, the operating margins on the ongoing business even improved. And the rest of the business, other than the new investment in TRESS, was improved. And actually, other than that, this is the best quarter and the best first half that Strauss Group had ever. Yes, within the portfolio, there are businesses that performed better and businesses that performed less or showed some softness. But all in all, the ongoing business that you've seen in the last year versus this year, both second quarter and first half are much better than 13. And actually, this is the best quarter and half for Strauss Group. So going back to the presentation in its order, I'm going back to the net profit and the EBIT profit. Again, both in the quarter and in the first half, you can see that we are in much better numbers than 2011 and 2012, yet a little bit lower than the peak number of 2013, but still in a much better platform, both for the EBIT and for the net, and this is true for the quarter and the half. You can see it in slide number 12, and you can see it in slide number 15 for the quarter, and 16 for the net profit. And it's, I think, looking on the charts, I think it's better than any explanation that I can give. Moving to the analysis per business, looking at slide number 19, you can see the nice growth in what we call the other segment, which includes Max Brenner and the water. And as you can imagine, most of the growth here comes from the water business. You can see also the 15% growth in the dips and spreads, both Sabra and Obela. When you look at the MD&A on the shekel terms, probably you'll need to reduce the 5% evaluation of the shekel versus the dollar. So you see the 10% in shekel terms, 15.7% dollar terms. You can see the growth of Strauss Israel in a saturated or slightly declining market. This is a good achievement for us, meaning that we took some market share, and later on you can see that it helped us to improve the gross profit and the EBIT profit. And even coffee, though the softness in Eastern Europe, and we will elaborate in one moment about it, we'll not run away from it. But all in all, the coffee business ended the period with almost the same sales as last year. We did the exercise in the next slide, slide number 20, to show you how our sales looks like, excluding the exchange rate. We took the actual sales in local currencies during the year and just convert them into shekels according to 2010 rates, just as a baseline. And here you can see much smoother line, much more predictable line, talking about constant rate measurement, which we think that for the longer term and the longer run analysis, this is the right way to look on ourselves. Currencies come, going up and down during the year, sometimes in our favor, sometimes against us. But this is, we think, another way to look on our business. Looking for the sources of growth, you can see the huge impact on Coffee International segment, which include Eastern Europe and Brazil. And as I said, out of those changes, about 200 million shekels comes from translation, and this is more than the 228, actually, which is more than the whole decline in this business. We can see the increase in the water, mainly coming from the new bubble bar sparkling water machine in Israel and the increase in sales in China. We can see the growth in Sabra, both from volume, mainly by volume and new categories penetrated. I'm talking about dairy dips and guacamole, but not less important, and for sure number-wise, even more important is the hummus. Health and wellness in Israel and the Obela business, which is relatively small, but percentage-wise grew very nicely. On the other hand, fun and indulgence, almost with the same numbers, we are facing competition here in Israel, which their life right now with the strong Israeli shekel became a little bit easier. We're talking most of the competition that we're facing is import of goods from mainly Europe. And this is the competition. Max Brenner was closing some of the less profitable points, mainly in Israel. So a small reduction in the sales. Coffee Israel, mainly a lower volume. Prices in Israel are, let's say, stable, small decrease due to the coffee prices that went down. And as I said, green coffee and Coffee International, mainly due to the currencies. Talking about the different countries in coffee, I think this is where we can talk about it. We saw the decline actually also in local currencies in three main areas. One is Poland, the other is CIS, and the third one is Serbia. In CIS, most of the changes came because of the conflict there. In Ukraine, the free income became lower. The impact of the currencies on the ability of consumers to buy important goods was significant. In Russia, less so, but still the situation was impacted by the conflict. We believe that sooner or later this conflict will be solved and the market will recover. On the other hand, in Poland, the reasons are different. Mainly we're talking about import of craft product, Krunung, into Poland from Germany, from parallel importers that probably bought coffee more than they could sell in Germany and decided to sell it in Poland, reducing the prices there. And this is something that we will need to face. If you analyze the profit of CEE, because we are publishing the Brazil and CEE profits together, and you have the Brazilian profits separately, you will be able to see that the reduction in profits of coffee in Brazil is very small. And this is mainly by the fact that we hedged ourselves for coffee prices at the beginning of the year in lower prices than the beginning of 2013. You need to remember, and we have the graph later on in the presentation, that the prices at the end of 2013 were much lower than at the beginning of this year. And thus we were able to keep almost the same profit. And towards the end of the quarter, and we continue to do that in the third quarter, as well as our competitors, we started to increase prices in almost all of the geographies other than Poland and Israel. And thus we are equipped to face Q3 and Q4 when we will start mainly during the fourth quarter to consume a little bit more expensive coffee. I'm moving forward to slide number 25, and you can see the EBIT and this is the EBITDA and the EBIT. But here again, I want to highlight the fact that the influence of the new investment in Brazilian business that we are glad to do. You know, if I want to color the differences, is responsible for even more than the decline here, and thus it means that the other businesses made better year than the previous one, 2013. Looking on the sources in the next slide, I think you have the data and you can look at it and analyze it, and I want to stick to what we promised you in the previous years, that we'll try to shorten the review of the presentation and leave as much time as we can to your questions. So talking about EBIT, you can see the EBIT, the coffee EBIT, and you can see the margins. And here, again, just to highlight that other than the investment in Crest, the total margins of the coffee business is better than 2013, sorry. You can see here the 10.6 versus 10.1, and if you'll see the differences in Brazil, despite of the higher gross profit, you can understand that the rest of the business have done better. And here, as I said, despite of the decline in the sales of mainly Poland and CIS. So we talked about the Brazilian business that established itself in a new platform or new scale of margins, both gross and EBIT margins. With that, we reviewed the first half. Again, from my point of view, more meaningful than the second quarter, mainly because of the influence of all the activities in Israel. But if you'll review the presentation, you can see that almost the same trends, the same order of magnitude of the differences that we talked about in the first half occurred in the second quarter, with the differences only in the Israeli activities. So I won't go one by one, and we can see in slide number 39 the Q2 consolidated EBITDA looks almost the same as the quarter, and in the next slide also, the last slide of the presentation before the appendixes, you can see the main influence on the on those reports coming from the differences in the currencies, mainly the rubal and the real. You don't see here the hryvnia, but very similar to the real, even in higher scales, around the 40%. With that, I reviewed the presentation. Two more things that I want to highlight, though not mentioned in the in the non-GAAP or the managerial reports, we have made a provision for income tax of about 11 million shekels that appears in the accounting report, due to the fact that we consider, together with TPG, their exit. As Gadi said before, and as we reported in the report, and once that we consider this option, even without any decision right now, and looking into this process, there might be changes in the equity structure of Trust Coffee BV, like any company that consider IPO. It's just natural to do some changes in the equity structure of a company, and there are different needs for a public company and private one. Those possible changes might be accompanied with some tax expenses, mainly withholding tax on dividends. And according to accounting rules, once we cannot say that nothing will be done, even 1% chance that something will be done is enough to make those provisions, unlike usual in accounting, that you have to have some certainty about things to happen to make those provisions. In this case, the rules says that it's enough that you cannot eliminate the chance that you need to do these provisions. So it's 11 million shekels in the accounting tax expenses. Another thing that people ask us during the day is our comment about the water business in China. We made some comment in the MD&A that we consider some changes in the operational model in China. Just to remind all of us, the business in China is held 50% by us and 50% by Haier, and thus is not consolidated into our accounting reports, and all the outcome comes into the equity line and in the profit and loss. But on the other hand, on our managerial reports, we do consolidate according to the rules that the IFRS had up until 2012, and thus we consolidate half of the sales. We might change the model there that will not enable us to consolidate part, and this is the emphasis that I want to say, part of the business in China according to the old IFRS rules. And thus, of course, it won't change the profit, because profit goes anyway, but on the other hand, sticking to also even in the non-GAAP, but sticking to the IFRS rules, we will not be able to consolidate those sales into our managerial report. And this is what we try to say there, and to give you the order of magnitude, we said, you know, if we had done it before, this would be the influence. Of course, we will not change numbers backward, but going forward, if this change will take place, this is the influence that we will have. Again, part of the business, we will still have 50% ownership on the business in China. So this is two things that we wanted to clarify on this call. And with that, I will hand over the call to you, and we will be more than happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Katie Schneiderman of Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi, you were talking about coffee prices and about hedging and about increasing prices. Now, it's all good, but can you give us, please, some tools to quantify the impact on higher coffee prices or lower coffee prices in the future?
First of all, we do not give forecasts or guidelines. So I'll try to lead you through the tools to calculate without providing guidelines. I think that you could see the influence on Strauss Coffee of the last peak during the end of 2010 and 2011, and you could see the impact. I'm looking here in the presentation that you have in front of you, but if not, you can look at our website later on and see previous slide. You can see the flat profits in 2012 and 2011, but in slide number 27. Here, I don't have the sales numbers, but you could see that at the same time, we had a peak year as far as sales. So when coffee prices goes up, if not in the same quarter, but the quarter after or 6 months later, you can see sales goes up and profitability goes down. because it mainly depends on the pace of change, not the change itself. So if it's a moderate change, prices are being transferred into the market. If the coffee prices change sharply or in a short term, then you cannot change. You know, if in this cycle prices went up, I think 100% in less than 6 months, you cannot convert to the market, let's say 50% higher sales just to keep the same profit, not the same profitability, because the green coffee is in charge of about 50% of the selling price to our customers and then to the consumers. So when coffee prices goes up sharply, then margins goes down, sales goes up. But it the other way, when this phenomena goes to the other way, that means that coffee prices goes down. Then you have the same thing, but in the opposite direction. And this is the reason that we always urge people that follows us, analyze us in a longer cycle than the commodity cycle. I don't know what is the commodity cycle. Sometimes it's 6 months, sometimes it's 9 months, sometimes it's a year. Depends on the cycle of the green coffee. But when you look on our numbers, I urge you to look on a longer cycle. So if I'm looking into 2012, unlike that time that the increase in the prices were not predictable. By the way, if you ask me about the reasons, mainly due to I'll call it cheap money, low rates that pushed people to invest in commodities. This time, since the coffee prices went at the end of 2013 to just to give you the order of magnitude, from 300 cents per libra at 2012 to 100 cents to libra towards the end of 13, going back into in April to 200, so going down from 300 to 100 and then back to 200, you can understand what can be the inputs. But this time, I think the market saw it. It was obvious that 100 cents per libra, I'm talking about Arabica, but the influence on Robusta is very similar. I think it was predictable. 100 cents per libra was too cheap. Everybody understood it. This is the reason we ourselves, and we announced it, were covered much longer than usual, almost towards the end of 2014. And it will enable us and our competitors to adjust the pricing to our customers. This is the reason I told you that we already started to raise prices in most of the markets, and I think that we will be ready for the prices that will be in the end of the year. Again, assuming that it will be, let's say, at the range that they are right now, 200 cents per libra for Arabica, for example. If the market will be stabilized right now, I don't think that the influence on profit and profitability will be significant.
Thank you very much for your answer. I have a question, please, on the Strauss Coffee IPO. Any updates?
Hi, Kathy. So regarding the IPO process, as we mentioned before, we are running a process with the TPG, our partners, with a very positive discussions and dialogue. And in the meantime, we signed only a non-binding agreement, but running the process, and we believe that this is going to be one of the exit options for TPG. But we are going to do it step by step for the interest of the coffee company. So we are in the middle of the, let's say, the beginning of the process, but with a very positive direction.
So you're not seeing it over till the end of 2014?
because we haven't signed yet a binding agreement, so I prefer not to give you such an announcement and timetable. But again, we are running a very fast process, and hopefully in the near future, we will officially we'll share with everyone the timetable.
And then I think that, like any put aside Strauss and Strauss Coffee, I think like any other IPO, if you're we are now in August, and you ask me about an IPO in December, I think it will be irresponsible to try and predict, by month or 2 months or 3 months, timing of an IPO, which, depends on many external parameters that we do not control. I think it would be not responsible to try and predict the exact month when we are, I wanted to say so far away, but I don't know if so far, anyway, far away, far enough from the date, even from now to assuming, even according to your question, at the end of the year, it would be irresponsible, though I'm not sure even December is the right timing to aim to.
Okay, thank you. My last question, do you see any impact of Protective Edge operation in 3Q?
Sorry, Kathy, you are asking about quarter number three?
Yes, of course, in Israel, of course.
In Israel, as we see it now, there is no influence. Of course, it's a tough situation, and we are operating with the three sites in the south of Israel under fire, literally. So situation is tough, but regarding the business, fortunately, unfortunately, we are used to this kind of environment for the last 14 years in the south of Israel. So we are very optimistic and handling the situation very carefully. And as we see it today, no influence on the business.
Just to emphasize, our factories are working, and we have not missed even one single day of production. Sometimes I say that New York is losing more working days due to snow than Israel on wars. Mm-hmm. And check me, this is right. You can check this statistic. But actually, in this situation, we haven't lost even one day of production. Of course, it might influence the consumption and so on. And this is sometimes it contradicts, because if people stay more at home, they eat more at home rather than away from home. But anyway, as Gadi said, we do not predict any major influence on the business.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The next question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, yes, thank you for taking my questions. I was wondering if you could comment on Sabra sales. Are you happy with the level of growth we've seen this quarter?
Yes, Tavi. First of all, I think that we need to measure, the first half. There is some seasonality and some promotions activities, but going back to the results in Sabra, we strongly believe that we are in the right direction. In the next couple of weeks, we are going to start the production in our new site in Virginia. We need to remember that less than 4 years ago, we just opened the new plant in Virginia, and today we are going to double our capacity after another investment of about probably $80 million. 100% of the investment in Virginia, and the only reason is because we see the growth, we see the potential. And just to share with you a few facts, the household penetration for the hummus category in the U.S. is less less than 30%. So actually, we have around 70% of the consumers, the potential consumers in the U.S. that haven't eaten the hummus in the last year. So the potential in the U.S. market is huge. We are about 65% share of the total hummus market in North America, and running about 70% of the growth is via the Sabra brand. So taking all the marketing facts together, our forecast for the future is to continue the double-digit growth. And we need to remember that in the local currency, the growth was 16%. So we have the right momentum, right capacity, and a great partnership with the Pepsi Frito-Lay. So we are very, very optimistic about the future.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tabi.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available in 2 hours. In Israel, please call 03-925-5941. Internationally, call 972-3-925-5941. A replay of this call will also be available on the company's website at www.straussgroup.com. Mr. Lessin, would you like to make a concluding statement?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you again, Shachar. In spite of the challenging environment in our Israeli home base and overseas, Strauss Group had a solid first half year with top-line organic growth of excluding effects of 3.3% and an increase of 2.7% in our gross profit, which is a reflection of our continued commitment to invest in innovation and in our brand in all activity segments, to further strengthen the Strauss Group's resilience and leadership wherever we play. So thank you all for joining us today, and looking for a peaceful time in the south of Israel. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes Strauss Group second quarter 2014 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.